Hey, America.
Start listening now. Hey.
Hey. That's kind of quiet.
Yes.
Yeah. Eric. I know that you guys just came from a concert, but how you doing?
What? So how you doing? What? What? Oh, hi. Hey, guys.
You're with us.
Yeah, no, I'm good now.
Hey,
hi. Hey, welcome to 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, the Guy Fieri of countries. I'm Eric.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
It's been an interesting evening.
Yeah.
It really is true. This evening we found out that Guy Fieri is opening a restaurant in the Mall of America.
I did see that.
Called Chicken Guy.
Because why not?
Because that's him.
Yeah.
So truly, we are living in the most Guy Fieri of universes in the Guy Fieri of countries.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Speaking of MOA, as far as I know, Sweet Jesus Ice Cream, still not open. It's been coming soon for like 2 years. It's not cool. They need to stop being upset about whatever it is they're upset about. I mean, I know what it is, but I'm not going to say what it is. And just... I want the ice cream.
Anyway, 12 Points of America is now changing genres. We're now going to be a podcast about complaining about the Mall of America.
It gets no points from us.
But they have Carlo's Bakery. And for a Jersey girl, like having access to my Linzer tarts and black on my cookies and lobster tails.
They did also have a witch before anyone else in the city.
They're apparently also getting a waffles and dingus, although that isn't open yet either.
I'm convinced you made that up just to give me great mental images.
No.
Oh?
No, actually.
Do not Google search waffles and dingus.
No. It's safe. I swear, Internet, it's safe. You can Google it when we're done with this show, but not before. Because I said so.
We do actually have things to talk about.
It's been
a bit of a hiatus. We, you know, through scheduling issues, we were not able to cover last week's crazy big news that we've got a location, we've got dates, we've got the beginning of an itinerary, where the heck we're going next year. Guys, we're doing Rotterdam.
Yeah,
Rotterdam.
Maastricht has been pushed into the North Sea as per tradition. We are going to the busiest container shipping port in Europe, woo! Rotterdam. Pam, 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 pam. Insert air horn sounds. Anyway, that's great. So this week we're going to be focusing on speculations about what's going to be going down in Rotterdam.
Yep.
I hope they ship in Mons in an enormous shipping container.
Well, speaking
it's
of,
just him rocketing around in it like a pinball.
I mean,
speaking
it's Mons. I mean, he's going to show up.
Yes.
I
mean. Speaking of Mons, we have Mons news, don't we?
We have Mons news amongst our current events.
Mons,
yes.
Yeah, Mons got hitched.
Yes.
Yeah, Mons boy's off the market.
The
yeah.
first man of Eurovision.
In the eyes of many, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
His wife is?
Cara Jansen, a British actress. I think she's on Hollyoaks, if I'm not mistaken. One of those British shows that I don't know anything about.
It seems
about.
Like if you're a British actor, you're either on Hollyoaks or EastEnders.
Yeah, I know.
Something's going to happen eventually.
But they just got married this week, so much mazel to them.
Congratulations.
Yes. Yeah.
Here, fuego.
Sorry.
do you think that, like... Do you think the wedding DJ spins heroes at that wedding?
Only heroes.
Yeah.
It's over
just,
and over and over.
They say, you may now kiss the bride, and it's just straight up just, we are the heroes of our time.
I'm actually pretty sure that it was the balloon boy chalk figure that officiated the ceremony.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
I was wondering what he was up to.
He pulled out the ring, and then Mons took the ring, and then the audience went, oh, that's good.
12 points. 12 points from the best
man. Let's see what else we got. So
other news?
On the topic of Rotterdam, one of the things they did that is, I guess I don't know that it's unprecedented, but if it's been done, it hasn't been done in a long time. They released their entire bid book. So basically this huge book kind of going over, here's why Maastricht sucks. And No, it's about... Why, here's why Rotterdam. It's great!
Yeah.
And
here's Rotterdam with an exclamation point. It was presented as a two-act musical. got the Lloyd Webber treatment.
Interpretive dance.
Well, they won, so
yeah,
they
probably did.
But yeah, it's really actually very fascinating. You had a lot of the, at least potential details of what we're going to see in May. Information about the Ahoy Arena, even things like a statement from the first deputy mayor of The Hague saying, "We, the people of The Hague, support Rotterdam's candidacy. Bring it there."
Well, so, like, they're next door. I mean, they get lots of hotel stuff.
I know. But it's like, what makes Rotterdam different? What makes it cool? It's the international vibe. It's this mix of old and new. It's the shipping and the sort of nexus of everything. And we invite you. And it's actually a really cool read. And you can actually find that on Rotterdam's official website. So rotterdam.nl. And you can just look for the Eurovision bid book. It is available in English if you want to scope this out. Because, you know, my Dutch isn't that good. I can only do what Duolingo has been teaching me. And my information about purple clogs and things like that isn't going to be very far.
Can you ask the classic Duolingo question, "You are a cat?"
Ben Jane cat.
Nice. Duolingo has not failed us yet.
Yep.
One of the first ones I got learning French, too, was...
"You are a cat."
"You are a cat."
William Shaw?
Yes.
So we haven't gone off on enough tangents yet. So I want to know. let's say St. Paul wanted to host Eurovision. It doesn't matter how or why, but let's just say we were in the running. Mm-hmm. I want to know what you would put in a St. Paul, Minnesota bid book.
Ooh.
I'll start. I think the biggest thing is that everyone has two breweries, and I mean like each.
Oh, like I own them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone has two breweries in this city. I don't know how, but we do.
I mean, that we're recording from one of mine right now. Really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Sam's Brewery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about you guys?
Let's see. I mean, I'm imagining, you know, very easily, the Excel Arena right down the road from me.
Oh, it's got to be.
Easy host.
Mm-hmm.
River Center, Press Center, easy peasy.
Yep.
Euro Club, ironically, at the Amsterdam.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Amsterdam Bar and Hall.
Is that big enough?
You got to start small.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Roy Wilkins is also right there.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's pretty big, but...
Why not both? Have one be the Euro Club, the other be the Euro Cafe. This is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a thing.
We do host many events. We get the Red Bull Flugtag every now and then.
Yeah.
And we get Red Bull Crashed Ice, in which we keep crossing our fingers for a downhill snowboarder to crash through the rose window of the St. Paul Cathedral. But it hasn't happened yet, even though they're so close to it.
Oh, and also, the show opens with a giant Juicy Lucy descending from the rafters.
And they cut it open,
and
instead of cheese inside, it's Mom's. You had me. That was him.
It's perfect.
Yep.
Bob Dylan will host.
Oh, no, please.
With his
Eurovision.
He does not sound that good still. It would be like... That's him saying welcome to Eurovision.
Subtitles necessary.
It sounds like trying to get a circular saw running, but you're not quite there.
But at the same time, it's doing like the two-note Native American throat singing thing.
Ooh.
The man is a man of many talents.
Mm.
Wow.
All right, what do we got next?
Let's see, we've got approximately 33 or so nations have been confirmed so far as of this moment of recording. There are some caveats. Countries can still jump in, jump out without really any fear of owing the EBU money. The EBU has already said that they will not be inviting Kazakhstan to the 2020 contest.
Why not?
Kind of, I don't know. You'll have to ask a friend of the show.
They know what they did.
Dictatorship problems.
I mean, they're in junior. So, I mean, I would love to see Kazakhstan doing it just because I can watch a million videos of Dimash Kudaibergen any day of the freaking week.
Do we have any big countries or regular countries that haven't confirmed yet?
Oh, gosh. I would
have Bulgaria in it, Sam?
I have to ask.
I have not heard anything about
Bulgaria popping in. I think they might be considering it, but the new head of the broadcast or the new head of the network, who I think is not quite as Eurovision friendly as other previous folks have been, so I say... I'm hopeful, but I'm realistically saying probably not this 66%? Year.
66%?
More like 33.
Yeah.
I have not been in touch with anybody from the delegation specifically about this. I'm not an official source of information on this. So, just so you know.
I'm kind of going off of memory, but I think they basically said, like, in July we're going to talk about it, and in October we'll announce a decision one way or another. But that's really all they've said. There's been an announcement of an announcement.
Your mother and I have been doing a lot of talking. We'll come to a decision later.
Right.
So good news.
Just looking at the Wikipedia page, I'm technically not seeing Italy on here, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. Mm-hmm. That, you know, again,
I don't see Vatican City on there either, but they're going.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they must.
Bringing the dancing Cardinals.
Yes. But as we talk about some of the national finals and all the fun stuff that's coming up, for many people, the highlight of the national final season is at hand.
Yes.
Or will be at least in a couple of months. We have more details on Melodifestivalen, which is Sweden's big to-do. We've got a trio of hosts, Lena Hedlund, Linnea Henriksson, and David Sundin.
How do I know the name Lena Hedlund?
She is the singer of Alcazar, who is a pretty, pretty big name among the Swedish pop set. Linnea Henriksson is more of a pop jazz singer. David Sundin, I think, is an author and comedian.
He also drove me to the airport that one time.
That was him.
Yeah.
Yeah. You remember.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was blaring Mons the whole way down. Okay.
We also have announcements on where the host cities for Melodifestivalen will be.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 6-week process. We have semifinals in Linköping, Göteborg, Gothenburg, Luleå, and Malmö. The Andra chansen, or the second chance round, is going to be in Eskilstuna, which is, I think, just to the west of Stockholm.
Sure.
And then the final is...
Big surprise.
Is just in Stockholm, yeah. Or like the suburbs of Stockholm.
Is that
we're putting
the
it on the Åland Islands in Finland. It's going to be... No, it's Stockholm.
Yeah, it's Stockholm. It's the Friends Arena in Stockholm. Yeah.
No one told you, yeah. Melody Festival and dance. Friends Arena. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Good. So what else do we have lined up?
I don't know anymore.
We haven't even gotten the show on the rails really yet, and we're completely off it.
Rails? What are rails? What else we got here?
It's Eurovision in concert, which is probably...
Which is...
Eurovision.
The biggest preview event of
in
the Eurovision
concert.
Year. Mm-hmm. After all of the songs have been selected,
yes.
Songs need to be submitted to the EBU by beginning of March, like second week of March, basically.
Right.
So what do you do between the time that your song is submitted to the EBU and the start of Eurovision proper?
You kick the habit. Oh, wait, no. That's what you said.
Was that seriously just a Belgian national final reference from like 4 years ago?
Nope, I was talking about doing drugs, but then not doing drugs.
Yeah.
Either way, good on you.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Eurovision concert has been going on for trying to put this train down the rails.
Pushing this circus train back onto the tracks.
Llamas are falling out of it. But yes, there was a lot of talk this year that because Netherlands would be hosting Eurovision, that maybe they wouldn't do Eurovision concert, which is this big promotional event. Dozens of the acts get together. They do interviews. They do concerts. They do all...
Is it always in the same city?
It's
the idea being it's the same venue and all that?
Yeah, Eurovision concert is traditionally in Amsterdam. There are other events as well. Sometimes there's one in London. There's been one in Russia. There's been one in Riga, Spain. It's just all these little events that kind of pop up. But the biggest by far is EIC, Eurovision Concert. So that will be held in Amsterdam on April 4th. No idea if the Dutch broadcaster is going to like take the opportunity of Eurovision Concert to work with the artists who are there and say, hey, maybe you want to shoot your postcard while you're here. Who knows what the postcards are going to be like? Well, no, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see what happens. They got plenty of time to figure that out. But yeah, good times. There's more to come.
That sounds like fun. We should go to that.
I'm down.
Yeah, sweet. Just get to Eurovision a month early.
Right. Hey, guys.
We show up as the most obnoxious American tourists. Just, you know.
Well, that's, I mean,
like we
either
show
way.
Up in, like, cargo pants and, like, knee-high socks.
Mm, Ed Hardy shirts.
And cameras, yeah.
Hanging around your neck.
A selfie stick that you would not believe.
Yeah. It like extends and then it like extends again.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. This scenario has everything.
Yeah.
It's like the length of a pole vault.
I can't see the entirety of the Louvre in this selfie. Anyway.
Exactly. So yeah. So needless to say, we are exhausted, but we are really, really excited about...
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do we know how Maruv is doing on Dancing with the Stars?
Oh, my
on
goodness.
Dancing with Stars?
I haven't even looked.
Danny, I don't know, but I did find out, I have some other Ukrainian news, sort of.
Yes.
And that is that Melovin, everyone's favorite Ukrainian goth boy who sleeps in the flaming piano.
Fiery piano guy.
He's got a new single. It's called No No, and it's pretty good.
Do you promise?
No.
Will I be, while listening to it, if I didn't know who he was, would I have figured he was Hot Topic boyfriend who has two different colored eyes?
Probably not.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It has this, I don't like explaining it this way, but I don't know of a better way to do so. But sort of that Eastern European ethnic hook that a lot of Eurovision songs from around that area have.
Yes.
But it's the melody reminds me of that song Your Woman by White Town from like 1996.
I'll pretend I know what that is.
Okay. And it's pretty cool.
Sweet.
Sam, save us.
I'm still trying to find exactly what Maroov danced to last time.
Does it have like a balalaika rock beat?
Ah, yes. I'm seeing on Wikipedia, but it's the Ukrainian Wikipedia, so...
Yes.
It looks like Maroov and Jay danced a contemporary number by Aram Khachaturian, coming in with 24
saber
points.
Dance. They did the saber dance to saber dance.
So yeah, they came in 24 points, and I think that secures their pass to next week. So okay. I think
all right.
The
congrats,
dance continues
Maroov.
On.
She continues to dance with Star.
Dance with Star.
Yes.
Yes. No comment.
So... we know we're going to Rotterdam. Mm-hmm. We know when we're going to Rotterdam.
Yes.
It's in...
remind us. The exact date.
Semifinal 1, May 12th. Semifinal 2, May 14th. And the final, May 16th.
Saturday the 16th.
Oh, man. Eric, are we going to be, like, traveling to Chicago at that time? I think we might.
I mean, I'm not. I most definitely am not.
All right.
I will be in Rotterdam and get back just in time to go to Atlanta.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. So, obviously, we don't really know, besides the venue and the dates, we don't really know anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still going to talk about it like we do, because that's just how we roll.
Because if
you have
your
ambitions, because
if we have anything, especially tonight, they're active imaginations.
Yes.
So, what are we expecting from this show? Are we expecting... so, like, 2017, Portugal was a little more subdued,
mm-hmm.
you know? 2019, Tel Aviv, not subdued.
Very glitzy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. What are you thinking?
Over the top. I'm thinking somewhere kind of in the middle.
I'm thinking still big scale, but mm-hmm. I have the uncanny feeling they're going to go for taste on this one.
Yeah. They're using a completely different all Dutch crew. They're not bringing in many of the Swedish hands on deck that we've seen in other years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even when the contest has not been held in Sweden, there have been a number of Swedish professionals who've helped out. But this year, it seems like it's all entirely a Dutch crew. So we're going to see a lot of fresh ideas, new ideas, and maybe something revolutionary. Who knows?
Yes. An entire Dutch crew on a huge scale. It's going to be like the VOC, but in 2020. Yeah. What? Okay, so what are we looking at?
What is coming up?
That is a reference.
The Dutch East India Company just sailing the waves.
I think what we're going to see a lot this year is Rotterdam is known for being a super international city. So I think a lot of embracing of the culture, which is really what Eurovision is about to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's a city that prides itself on being very young and very new. It was basically bombed beyond recognition during World War II, so it's kind of built up from the scraps of the war, and it's now basically the financial powerhouse of the country. So they've got some really cool architecture, some really cool cityscapes that you're not going to find anywhere else in the country.
So what is this, like the Brooklyn of the Netherlands?
Not as hip. Well, maybe not as hipster.
Not as hip.
Maybe like young and energetic.
Maybe
like the San Francisco.
I was
going to
say the Chicago.
Right.
Oh.
I'm going to say the Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. If the Chicago fire is the equivalent of World War II bombing.
Which it isn't.
It's not, but I'm just saying, like, starting your city over.
Oh, true.
Rotterdam is a city that is kind of built itself up from the horrors of World War II, where it was almost leveled. And now it's the financial powerhouse. It's this young, vibrant city with people from all over the world coming through. I think it's going to be a very vibrant contest.
I did see something a day or two ago that... I guess I don't know exactly how this process works, but the organizers ask for some amount of money from the local government to help put this thing on. And they asked for a certain amount of money, and Parliament was like, no. No. They seem pretty uninterested in this whole thing to this point. Some parties more than others. You can probably guess which are which if you know anything about Dutch politics, but... That is a tiny bit worrisome. Maybe not worrisome, but
I wouldn't worry. Yeah. I wouldn't worry too much about it. I mean, if you think about it,
how many times has this happened to like the Olympics level or like in Eurovisions in the past? Like not getting that much governmental funding has never like stymied the competition.
Right. Or, like, exactly. Staging, and right? even if the national parliament doesn't necessarily step up, that doesn't necessarily mean that the local, like the city government or the regional government or other sources of income. There are other sources of income, sponsorships, the EBU itself. I don't think this is going to be one of those situations where, you know, the nation will collapse like a monetary souffle.
Eurovision tends to avoid that sort of thing. Like it doesn't become like the Olympics where it's just like this huge loss leader that is so much of a leader that you're just screwed forever.
Some cities deal with it better than others, I think.
Okay.
I feel like Copenhagen 2014, there was a little bit of a financial issue, partially because they basically had to build their venue from an overgrown, underused shipyard. The result was breathtakingly gorgeous, but it was expensive.
That's probably still my favorite Eurovision stage.
It was so good.
It's really, really, so, really, really, really cool. It's like the inside of a Rubik's Cube.
It was so, so good.
With water.
Yeah.
With water in it.
Butter insurance.
Let us never forget.
What do you think they might do for a Dutch stage? Are we going to get a stage based on the Starry Night or...
I'm thinking water.
Water?
I'm thinking
bunch
water.
A bunch of pannekoeken.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's just interlocking stroop waffles.
That's it.
With LEDs, obviously.
Interlocking stroop waffles is also the name of my They Might Be Giants cover band.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that the postcards this year might have something to do with Dutch artists. There's a lot of very iconic paintings to choose from.
Recreating famous paintings? Now that's an idea. That's an idea I can get by.
It'd be very easy.
Yeah, but you're going to have, like, all of the female soloists, like, fighting over who gets to be the girl with the pearl earring.
I thought they were going to fight over who's going to be the big sunflower in Sunflowers.
One person gets to be the girl with the pearl earring.
Guys.
And everyone else is the Night Watch.
Guys, whether...
That's like a billion people
in there.
I'm going to say... Whether he's singing or involved in the show at all or not, Jacques Hudek is going to be the big sunflower.
Who?
Croatia 2017. My friend.
You know what?
That went over like a lead balloon.
We'll live with that one.
That might have completely gone over Eric and Danny's head, but I'm sure the Eurovision fans listening at home are loving that.
I'm sure they
go over my head. I got it.
There we go.
You didn't even chuckle.
He gave you the stare.
I said I got it.
Disappointment.
Yeah. So now I have no scheduling conflicts, and I know more so than before
that you are going.
That I will be going, and I'll be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk for a second about what to expect from a stay in Rotterdam. So anyone who's listening, planning on going, I think the biggest thing that, Sam, you and I have discussed is Market Hall.
Oh, yes. Oh, God,
Market Hall is this giant, I mean, it's a bunch of things, but it's a food market, and there's other retail space. It's a big upside-down U. It's like the box of a Wii U upside down.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good.
So a Wii N?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. But it's fabulous, and it's gorgeous, and it's, I think it only opened in, like, 2014, so it's relatively brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Relatively brand new. Oxymoron. It's time.
That's something that's becoming very popular in Europe. It seemed like everywhere that I went in Central Europe had a place like that. It was like an indoor gallery that was like shops and food.
Yeah. I mean, there was an amazing place in Lisbon like that that I spent way too much of my time and money on, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
same in Budapest.
Yeah.
You know what? I think this thing is actually a Stargate. Neat.
Shoot through it.
That would be great.
Maybe that's like a secret plan that's going to be happening when they assemble all of these artists here in Rotterdam.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Eurovision in space?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And we'll be there.
Space.
Sam, what else are you looking forward to in terms of getting to spend some time in a new city, in a new Eurovision city?
I know Sam is very disappointed that there's not going to be any Fable.
I was heartbroken about this, and you kind of took the words right out of my mouth. Like, Market Hall is going to be incredible. I've already scoped at like 5 or 6 places there that I want to eat at, like the Turkish bakery and like the Portuguese tartlet place and the tapas place. I want it all. But there's something very adorably Dutch about the automat, which took off in the Netherlands and used to be a thing in the U.S. back in, like, the 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
And completely died out here.
which is a shame. Because if there's one thing that I want, it's sandwiches and pop without having to talk to people.
Exactly.
It's what I want from life. It's like, I like chicken McNuggets, but I would really like it if I didn't even have to talk to a speaker box
for it. You just put the coin in the slot, and you open the little door, and there's a hot little croquette of fried meat or cheese or goodness. And there's just something so magical about that, that I know that any Dutch listeners or anybody who's been to a Fable are probably rolling their eyes so hard that they're pulling muscles in their face. But there's just something very charming about that. And I'm very sad to report that as of my last bit of research earlier this afternoon, there is not a Fable in Rotterdam. They're all over Amsterdam. They had one in Maastricht, but they
just checked the map, and it looked like they have one in Utrecht.
Utrecht. I think there's one in The Hague.
There's one in Zeeland.
Ooh.
Okay.
Wait, Zealand or Sealand?
Sealand.
Oh, like, okay.
Population 4.
But they still keep...
They got a Fable.
They still keep the automatic stats.
Yeah.
Fable. Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've just come up with a slogan for next year.
Yeah.
So now that we've talked about the food that we get to eat or not get to eat, what do you guys think is going to be the musical scene for next year's contest?
So, like... I'm thinking about a couple of things. One, I think seems like Europe changes up what they look for in a winner from year to year. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So 2017, we had Amor Pelos Deutsch, then we had Toy, and we had Arcade. What in the world are we going to be looking for next year? Is it just another banger, or is it something...
Those were the winners, but... When I think of, like, say, the top 10 as a whole, it seems like there are more songs that are similar in the top 10 that are dissimilar from the winner itself. Like, Arcade was a moody ballad, but we had songs like Spirit in the Sky and She Got Me that are out-and-out dance hits.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You're saying that those kind of, like, split the vote there, which allowed something like Arcade to rise to the top a little bit?
I mean, we can't really say that because Arcade was, for so long, such an odds-on favorite.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. That's true.
But I think that's... I think it's just very palatable to a certain demographic that watches Eurovision, which is mm-hmm. the younger demographic.
Yeah.
I mean, I am that demographic. Oh. I eat it up!
Don't rub it in.
So, speaking of...
I think we can expect a lot of songs that are like that. I think we can expect a lot of bangers. Some more Fuegos. I think we're going to get four
of them. I think they're going to... Fuego?
Fuego 2.0, so, yeah.
I feel like we're going to be getting Fuegos. For a while. Are there any 2019 things that we think are likely to be imitated? Are we going to get a few more Pretty Boys of Pianos because of Duncan?
I think so. I think we're going to get maybe a bit more of that singer-songwriter vibe. I don't necessarily think that what you see in year X transfers completely to year Y. Mm-hmm. Like, after Salvador won, it's not like we saw a massive influx of jazz or,
that's true.
Or the introspection. But what we did see was an uptick in native language.
Mm-hmm.
We saw an uptick in singer-songwriter, Salvador didn't write a Marcello's Choice, but his sister wrote it for him, so, you know, kicking within the family, about as close as you can get.
Yeah.
This is going to sound strange to say, but for me, the most true to Salvador's influence that we saw the year after was the Hungarian metal song, Viszlát Nyár, right. by Ave Esch, because this is an act that went in a genre that wasn't necessarily the norm.
Isn't Eurovision friendly,
right.
sang in their own language,
right.
and was just doing it for themselves.
Right, exactly. They went in with no expectations, and they ended up getting out of it with incredible opportunities.
And going to the final.
Yeah, going to the final, and they've been touring around the metal circuit ever since.
Sweet.
So, yeah, I know, right?
I like seeing stuff like that.
I feel like
this year was, you know, our Austrian quartet of, no, our Polish quartet of dear God worshipping pagans. I love them.
Even though, like you said, they were kind of just doing it for themselves. I think they also both did a really great job of representing their countries in an authentic and interesting way.
Mm-hmm. Sure. That's kind of what I meant, is that they didn't temper their act to please Eurovision.
No, it was genuine. It was real. And I think we're not necessarily looking for carbon copies of something the previous year. Cypress, I'm looking at you. But I think you're seeing a continuation of the spirit of a song or an artist. Mm-hmm. You know, people are looking for something authentic. They're looking for something good and heartfelt and real. I think people can look at a song and feel if it's fake or forced and kind of pass over that. Like, Arcade felt heartfelt.
It really did feel, as much as I had to discount it as like, this is number one, I had to admit, the song wasn't imitating anything else.
No.
The song was what it was.
Yeah. Mahmood, same deal.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which is, at the risk of causing controversy, would you say that Too Late for Love is an example of the opposite of that?
Well, that's
and perhaps why the vote for it turned out the way it did?
Like it was very, that was a very calculated song.
Yeah, which is interesting considering he wrote it. So, you know, you would assume that there's some connection to it. But again, Sweden just has this surgical precision when it comes to their songcraft. And sometimes it's great for a show, but does it necessarily help you connect?
Yeah. I hate to mark down tally number 8, but after Mon's run, for Heroes... Didn't you say that there was a lot of, like, Heroes copycats that next year?
Especially in not necessarily in the song itself,
but in performance.
There were a few visuals that were very, very, very clearly like, we need to get on this train.
Yeah, and for some it worked, like Russia the following year, arguably Australia the following year, and for some it didn't. Iceland didn't qualify that year with a similar kind of shadow trick. Mm-hmm. You'll see a lot of inspiration, but I think people can see through carbon copies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in terms of 2019 having an influence on 2020. Mm. I think this is the big question. Will we get another Hatari?
Oh, God, please. I think we're going to see more fearlessness.
I think there was an added element of irresistible controversy that was engendered by it being hosted by Israel. Mm. So I think it was almost like putting it in Israel and having a band that was already quite against the Israeli government. I feel like it was too much of a temptation for them to not say something. Mm-hmm. Like, if this were hosted in a different place, Hatari might not have felt the need, really, you know?
So that being said, I mean, do you think there may be... I mean, maybe not anything quite that...
That being said, I think the political situation in the Western world right now is doing its own hot job of getting artists to say stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I guess that's my question is, are we going to see connections between what Hatari did to what someone does in Rotterdam?
And that is kind of a question for the EBU. I mean, we are hearing rumors about the EBU possibly sanctioning RUV, the Icelandic broadcaster, for Hatari's actions at the vote tally.
Can't we control them?
No, they can't. I mean, there's a big separation between the delegation and what the actual artists do. Mm-hmm. But will the EBU take a stand and really kind of hammer home, okay, this is not a political event. If we have a whisper of anything, they could really tamp down on that and try to make this as inoffensive as humanly possible. But that just...
That makes it inauthentic.
I agree.
Once again, that makes it irresistibly tempting to say something.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Do it, Ems. Do it, Rotterdam. I dare you. Do it. And just watch, they send Hatari again.
I was thinking, it made me wonder, especially if they sanction them, if they would just be like, okay, and then just send them again.
Knowing Iceland? Well, I mean, keeping in mind that there are only about 350,000 people living on the island.
Yeah, we got to come back eventually.
Exactly. I mean, we're not talking like San Marino numbers here.
No, Malta numbers.
Not what? Smaller than Malta. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's so I think we're going to see some more fearlessness, or we're going to see it swing the other way and the EBU try and probably fail to tamp down.
We've seen in the past 5 or 6 years that there have been some whispers of political alignment in the songs themselves.
There's always a little bit.
There's always that little bit with a wink. Not enough for them to be like, ah, what is this? What is this, a protest sign? Because it never is quite that. Mm. But I feel like there...
What is it, though?
I feel like in recent years, there has been a kind of winking and looking, a sort of this impulse to say, to be a little bit more...
Right.
Almost like responsible as an artist. Like, it's more responsible as an artist to allude to these political crises that the world is dipping into.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Hatari was just an eventuality always.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I my inclination is that we may not see something quite on the level of Hatari, unless they come back, please do. That is going to send, you know, shockwaves throughout the Eurovision world, and we'll be seeing, I think, things inspired by them for years to come. And I think that's great.
Even if it's not completely lockstep, somebody will be emboldened by what they did and say, you know, this is a place where I can show my craft and be myself and stir the pot a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I'm looking forward to that. Really looking forward to that.
Yeah. So, the Netherlands, they have a fun recent history in Eurovision. Obviously, they won this year, but a lot of their non-winning songs, including ones that did very, very well, have been country acts.
Yeah.
Country or folk,
As the host nation, are we going to get country again? Are they going to maybe send something?
Oh, who knows?
Maybe a little less strong, just to make sure they don't win again.
Skrillex level EDM. Mm. I don't know. Is there like that recurring sort of almost like the curse of Eurovision, where the song that you send when you're the host tends to be kind of a not try?
It really depends on the country. I mean, Israel this year, unfortunately, didn't really try.
Portugal's was heartfelt, also it didn't really have a shot,
it was so good. That was, Ujra thing was still one of my favorites. But I think back to Azerbaijan, and when they sent Sabina Babayeva with When the Music Dies, and that came in, I think, fourth place overall on the night.
Mm-hmm. There's Lena. She won in 2010, and then they just sent her again for 2011.
Yeah, and she came back with, in my opinion, an even better song, a little bit more eccentric, and came in top 10. It's going to be interesting to see what the Dutch do this year. They've announced that they're going to go for a completely internal selection, which will be the first time that a host nation has gone completely internal for their hometown entry since, I want to say, 1999.
Wow.
Yeah. Normally they have some sort of national final, possibly maybe to draw up local interest.
Yeah, because
get everybody
that pride. Yeah
absolutely. So Avertros will be going internal, and I don't know if that's going to be, hey Duncan, you have any friends that you want to tell us about, or Ilsa, who recommended Duncan, who else you got, or it could just be, hey, you were on The Voice, we like you. So I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But it's really exciting. I mean, since they've started qualifying again, because they had a really crap spell between 2005 through 2012, they didn't qualify at all.
Oof.
And 2013, they made it back to the finals, and they've only failed to qualify once since then.
Oh, I remember that song.
You remember the dress.
No, I remember the song. It was awful.
What was the song?
I just remember Y-I-I-I, which is how I felt listening to it.
Song's called Walk Along by Trentje Oosterhuis.
Do we have it?
No. Not even I.
We do not.
Okay. All right.
I will spare you just this once.
All right.
But they've bounced back beautifully. They, obviously with Anouk coming in top 10 in 2013, the Common Linnets with their silver medal in 2014.
Still maybe my number one Eurovision song.
Dawid Bob in 2016, another kind of country kiss song. Eugene, where they went all Wilson Phillips for that year. And then they went back to country in 2018.
For Outlaw in E-Minor.
Yep.
So, hey, everybody! Oh, sorry.
Need a laugh, laugh, yes. I hated that song so much. I'm sorry, the Netherlands.
They made up for it the following year.
That's true.
I mean, they could go country, because evidently that's their thing now.
Is that like a legitimate thing that the Dutch, by as a broad generalization, like culturally? Is there like a big country/folk scene in the Netherlands?
It appears so. I mean,
Trentje, enough for them to keep finding acts to send.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Waylon and Ilse, even though they're no longer in the Linnets together, they're both independently big stars.
Mm-hmm.
Locally in that genre. I think the Common Linnets actually have a new album coming out, or I think they're at least in the studio recording more, so keep your ears out for that.
All I know is that what I want to see at Eurovision, and Lord, this would never happen, is like some more like hard rock. You guys bringing up Hungary again just made me be like, there's never that, there's a lot of moods and a lot of themes that are addressed in Eurovision songs. But the sound and feel of metal is never introduced. I want the Netherlands to bring some squealing guitars. That's what I want. I want drums that sound like they were recorded and then tripled.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Okay. That'd be cool.
I'm down.
Yeah.
Bring in the pyros.
What have you got to lose, Rotterdam?
Well, we'll probably find out in the next couple of months.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, gotta find out eventually. Everything's gotta be released by the beginning of March, so we'll kind of be on tenterhooks until we know.
It's coming. It's going so fast.
I feel like I just got back from Israel. I feel like I just got back from my first Eurovision. I blink and now I'm looking at my 10th.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Who's gonna win? Who's gonna win Eurovision 2020?
Based on absolutely nothing at all.
Based on absolutely nothing at all, and the Nate Silver-style statistical trends that we've been analyzing for the past 15, 16 episodes.
Who's gonna win?
Who's your odds-on favorite? I'll tell you who my favorite.
Go for it.
I am gonna think that they're finally gonna pull it out. They're gonna not disappoint me for another year in a row. UK.
UK?
UK, you're taking number one.
Whoa. What have you been drinking?
I had that prickly pear cordial that you served me earlier from Malta.
I did.
Ooh, what if it's Malta? I'm going to say it's something. That's why I'm a big fan. Some underdog out of left field, either UK or Malta. I want it to happen. Something wild.
Okay.
Go for it.
I'm down.
No, Sweden, get out of here. Russia, no. France, sit down. I want something from you guys. Either that or, go for it. One of those two. Malta or the UK. Italy can come in second again. That'll be great.
Eric, what are you feeling?
That's a pretty good transition. I feel like Sweden is not quite at the point where they're figuring it out yet.
Which is so strange to say about Sweden.
It's true, though. Yeah. There's just something about the manufactured thing that
I feel like there's enough juries and televoters who roll their eyes at it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Agreed. And they haven't figured out what it is that's making that happen. I don't think 2020 is the year. I don't think Russia's going to go all in again or anything like that. I don't think it's them. If I am going to make a baseless prediction right now about who's going to win, I think this is the year that Italy gets over the top.
You know, I believe in them. That'd be good with them.
They have been so close over and over and over and over again. It is only a matter of time.
They deserve to win. They're the Susan Lucci of Eurovision.
They're the Randy Newman of Wayne.
They're the Guy Fieri. No.
No. We all know that's San Marino.
I think a big Italian win is inevitable, and I think there's a good shot that 2020 is the year.
They haven't had a big win since the Risorgimento, and I believe in them. I think they should win.
Honestly, Italy was going to be one of my guesses, but if I have to pick something else, you said, Eric, that it was only a matter of time. I think this might be the year that Belgium figures
just
its crap out.
Just a matter of time. Oh, I knew that was coming.
Good. All right.
Senek, friend of the show.
I believe
she should.
I will note, two great songs in a row. Two not as great performances of those.
Unfortunately.
Right.
But before that, you're extremely correct.
Yeah. Belgium has potential there. They've got two broadcasters. I think they're on the right track. I think if they get their act together, they're practically on a home field advantage.
Mm-hmm.
It's really actually going to be very helpful.
They can bike to the stadium.
They probably will. So I think this could be the year that they make a miracle happen.
Oh, now that you say that, it does make so much sense.
Yeah.
Belgium really has been like, they don't sacrifice the artistry, but yet these songs are very Eurovision friendly.
Yeah. And they just
put those all together.
Exactly. Haven't had the right combination of song and singing.
And supposedly the broadcaster has been in talks with somebody, and we should be knowing a name moderately soon, I hope.
Severely soon?
I hope. Severely soon, yes. But then again, I also had high hopes for Belgium last year before they announced their song. Will I just be disappointed again, left bereft of chocolate?
Will Belgium wake up?
It's only
a matter of time. What was
2018? What's pressure?
What is, in fact, the pressure, mother?
Oh, man. Oh, boy.
Keep going.
Love kills.
All right.
Love kills over and over. We're going to wrap this up tonight. No. All right.
Too handy.
What we do? I want to hear some wild predictions. Crazy out of nowhere predictions. Danny.
Michiel Huisman shows up in nothing but a towel because he took a wrong turn. And that's it.
Sarah.
Everybody's on a boat. I don't know how, but everybody's on a boat. Ahoy.
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 Eric.
Oh, crap. I shouldn't have asked this question.
Yeah, you're the one who wrote this question down.
I did. I had one, and now I'm tired. Let's see. Derek.
Azerbaijan gives 12 points to Armenia.
Ooh.
Whoa, crazy. Ooh. Out there. Now that is...
Ooh, mine's the same as Derek's. Or Cyprus...
Greece. Does not vote.
They don't vote for each other.
Yes. War breaks out and we all die. That's my prediction.
Wow. Thermonuclear war brought on by Eurovision scandal.
Yeah.
Fuego. There we go. Awesome. All right.
And on that note, guys,
you know how to
reach us. join in on the lunacy. God only knows we have enough of it ourselves, but you are more than welcome to join us.
We want more.
You can reach us on Twitter or Facebook at 12 points USA. We would love to hear from you.
Let me see that 12 points from USA.
From USA. Yeah. You can reach us via email at our Gmail account. So 12, that's 12 points from America at gmail.com. You can reach me directly on Twitter at ESC Insider.
You can reach me on Twitter as well.
Oh,
at Eric is tweeting. Yes.
Also, it should be noted, we talked about this earlier on previous episodes of the show. If you were looking for my friend Ellie's tea towels, the magical, wonderful tea towels with every Eurovision result ever, it's incredible, and they are back in stock on Etsy, so keep your eyes peeled for that. Totally Flagulous is the name of her Etsy store. If you're looking at dollars, I believe they're $14.80 at this point. And they are worth every single penny, euro, cent, or pence that you want to throw at my friend. So, shameless plug over.
Mm-hmm.
We love you, Ellie.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, quite literally.
Friend of the show, a literal one.
Yeah.
Excellent.
An actual friend of the show. We finally have one.
Good.
Aww.
Well, listen. America,
stop listening now.
Can I go to sleep now?